audio started, and the video. We're not streaming today, but the video is started for the future. We've got to lower this always. There you go, Shabbat Shalom. And we shall blow the trumpet on the Sabbath. Go right ahead. Well, Shabbat Shalom. I guess our guests with all their kids. I wonder if they were coming today. But we're still here, so we just started. We are one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Chabad Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God. We're not streaming right now, because of the servers not running. The server's in pieces on the other side of the wall here. And I might have to buy all the new hardware and software and try to figure out how to get the whole thing going again, which is quite an adventure. But we shall overcome, Lord willing. And today's the Sabbath. We're on we're on Maple Street right now, 27 South Maple Street, Hole and Vault, Tennessee, the High Forest. There's our phone numbers. You could still call us, of course, and you could still email us. What can I tell you? That you still can connect with us somehow. And today we're streaming off our phone. I mean, we're on our phone, so if anything dies out, sorry about that. Well, anyway, my ministry is a teaching ministry to bring up topics and subjects in the Bible. Maybe that's never been discussed in your life. They've been deleted from your knowledge. You haven't a clue. They are missing some of these things. Try to undelete some for you. So let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this teaching today, and may God help us all. Heavenly Father, Master of the universe, forgive us any sin, any blemish, any spot, knowing one day we're going to stand before you and give account for everything we do and think and act. Heavenly Father, bless and anoint this day. We know there's no secrets with you, and you see everything, Lord. You said the darkness and the light are the same. Bless and anoint this teaching. Bless everyone here. Heal everyone that's sick and afflicted, anything that's wrong with them in the body of Messiah. Take away anyone that's not of you, Father, and let us all be of one accord, one mind, one spirit, and one God. May God bless this day. May God bring people to us. Father, I pray during the week you could show us where brothers and sisters are. We try to call them, but we don't know what's going on. But bless this day in Yeshua's name, and may God just be with us and deliver us from any enemies and sicknesses and infirmities. And may God always bless everything we do and guide us in our lives. In Yeshua's name, amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, for your convenience, my studies will again be one day on my server. They're not today. So I'm still going to archive them, you know, the text and the audios and the videos. And we are on Pow Talk right now, so that's about the best we can do. And we're not streaming today. You can't see the link to schedule me in, so I can't even talk about that. Not today. But you've had 15 years to schedule me in, I guess. Today we use the Gregorian calendar from the 1500s. It's March 18, 2017. And there's what March is all about. And it's the Mars. Mars's month. Mars, isn't that terrible? Mars is the Roman god of war. He's identified with the Greek god Ares. We can look that up. I've had that in the past, who he was, but it doesn't really matter. Jehovah God has his own calendar, which is deleted from the world today. We're now in the 12th month of God, Adar, and it's the 19th day. So the month's just flying by. I mean, Adar is about, you know, it's over halfway over, right?
Sure.
And we find it in Esther 3:7. We always bring that into focus, where it says the 12th month, which is Adar. Adar, it means to become glorious, make honorable. And sometimes it means a cloak, something's hidden, a mantle. And I wanted to make sure everybody understands that. I wanted to do a little review real quick of the spring holy days and feasts. So, remember, all these days start the evening before. So when I give you a date, it starts the evening before, right? So if I say New Year's is the 30th of March on Thursday, it started Wednesday evening, right?
At sundown.
Okay, good. I want to make sure everybody knows. So there's New Year, the 30th of March, Thursday. And then as we move along, as time progresses, Lord willing, Passover is April 12th, which is Wednesday. We'll eat the Passover the evening of the 12th. And of course, and then as we're eating it, the Feast of Unleavened Bread starts until the 19th of April. Right? So we got that. But in the midst of that, we're going to be doing the first fruits, which is Resurrection Day, the 16th of April, which is Sunday. Okay? Got that? And then, of course, 50 days later from the resurrection, we do the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, on Sunday, June 4th, 2017. And there they are. We're going to do these as a, they've all been, you know, fulfilled by Yeshua and the Holy Spirit, which is God, and we'll just do them in memorial, and I'd like to bring those into focus to people, the first coming of Messiah, and what he happened. So you could write those down if you like. That's if you don't remember, we can always go over it later. Anyway, I was going to go over the whole Sabbath thing, but you guys, I see there's nobody new here, but I'm going to read it anyway because people in the future, you know, the ones that will listen in the future. So why are we here today? We were told to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Sabbath is the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments given to us on Mount Sinai. And today is a rest of the Holy Sabbath unto Jehovah, which is great. And I like to always explain it. The Sabbath is not a service, which I know if you go on somebody's other people's websites and they'll have a service for an hour and a half. Then after that, they go to restaurants, they do anything they want. To us, the Sabbath is not an hour and a half. It's a 24-hour period, and it's also the seventh day. It's not any day we decide. That's really, really important, too, because some people always come to us and they say, well, I do my Sabbath on Tuesday or Wednesday. I say, that's true. I say, we do God's Sabbath on Saturday, on Friday night. Sabbath is very simple to understand. What you have to remember is Genesis, at this point, there was neither any Jews, right? There was, nor was a country of Israel in Genesis 1, right? And 2. Sabbath turned out to be a commandment, which God used in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And Genesis says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished. I love that. That's just an amazing thing to think about. All the heavens and the earth were finished. And all the host of them. That's all the stars and everything out there in the universe. So it's finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified in it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. You know, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, this is probably the first time, because God is from everlasting to everlasting. He doesn't have a calendar or a clock or anything like that. This is probably the first time as he's creating the universe, he's probably creating also days. Shabbat Shalom. How are you? So this is the first time God is creating the seventh day, and this is probably the first time he created the universe. And so the Sabbath is an important thing because this isn't a Jew. A lot of people go, that's Jewish, you know, and it's not Jewish. And there were no Jews, and there was no Israel when the Sabbath was created in Genesis, right? Everybody realizes that, right? Leviticus says, from even to even we celebrate our Sabbath. A lot of people just don't understand that. And God actually has his own calendar and his own time that he created for us. He said the invisible things of him, of God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen now by the things that he made. And we can understand what light and darkness is. And because the first 4 days in Genesis, there was no sun or moon, but there was still light, which is supernatural to think about. If you read your Genesis correctly, there was an evening and a morning without a sun or a moon. You know what I mean? which is beyond our imaginations. But now we have these things that he made that they're clearly seen. We could decipher what's going on. So we understand this from sunset to sunset. And nowadays, of course, I don't want to say we cheat, but we even use the U.S. Naval Observatory. They know exactly when sunset is, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, you really can't get away from that. Sabbath is the fourth commandment, by the way, out of the Ten Commandments. It's not like, some people, I don't even like to use, I use the word Sabbath a lot, but I also like to say it's the fourth commandment out of the ten. Because when I usually talk to people and I ask them, do you keep the Ten Commandments? And they all go, yeah. Do you like those? Yeah. I said, do you keep the fourth one? And they go, what's that? And I tell them, it's the Sabbath from Friday night to Saturday night. And then they go, no, I don't do that one. I say, why? Did you look it up? Because there's evidence to prove who changed it and what happened to it. You could actually look that up at the advent of the internet. You could look everything up nowadays, you know? Let's see. We went over this. And the Sabbath is the Sabbath is the fourth commandment of the covenant given to us on Mount Sinai in the third month. So there's another indication of God has his own calendar. Just like right now we're in the month of Adar, the 19th day. It's the 12th month right now. Most people never heard of that because they go to a Protestant church, which is just basically sort of repackaged Catholicism, you know. So the Ten Commandments, you know, I've been a minister for a long time, and I talk to many ministers. I always ask them where the Ten Commandments are. They always go the Old Testament, and I say, how old is it? And I say, first of all, you got that whole context is wrong because it's not the Old Testament and the New Testament. That was made up by Protestants. The Old Testament is talking about the animal sacrifices and the Levitical priesthood and these temple services. The New Covenant, the New Testament, was written in Jeremiah 31, which explains what the New Covenant is. Well, God's going to write the laws in our hearts and our minds and souls, and he's going to be a God to us, and we're going to be his people. Gospels and letters is not the New Testament. So that the whole concept that everyone has been raised on, if you start reading your Bible correctly, you start seeing the fallacies and the inconsistencies. But you have to really take note of these things, because Satan likes to separate the Old Testament from the New Testament. And there is no separation. Everyone in the Gospels, they all read the Tanakh, which is the Torah, the five books of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, and the Proverbs. That's all they had. Jesus never read Matthew, right? Paul never read the Gospel of John. Now, these are all great to have. Don't get me wrong. They're all great to have. And I love all the letters, but we only got a few letters. We got one letter to the Ephesians. Something's missing. One letter to the Colossians. One to the Philippians. Basically, if I write you a letter, what am I going to be expecting? Right. Even nowadays, we got this thing called email, right? When you email somebody, you're expecting a response. But we only got one letter from this, one letter from that, two from the other country, you know. And it's nice to have, because you see people keeping the commandments. You see people keeping the Torah. They're all Torah-minded. And at that point, there still was no Catholics or Protestants. Catholics were created in 350 A.D., and the Protestants came in 1500s. Before that, there was no such thing as a Protestant. Actually, Protestants were supposed to be protesting against the Catholic Church, but that's over. Now they're all together. Like the Catholics want, they're all universal. Everyone does all the fake holidays, and like yesterday they did St. Patrick's Day and had green beer. And these are all Protestants doing it too. And that's St. Patrick, sounds a little Catholic, doesn't it? Just like the calendar we use every day. It's the Gregorian calendar. The calendar you use every day of your life is created by Pope Gregory from the 1500s. So very subliminally, behind the scenes, very stealthily, the Catholics are still running a lot of things without us even knowing it. You know, and it's something to take note of. But anyway, getting back to this, so we're told to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. There's the word zichor, zicharon. The only way you can really remember it, you have to speak about it. See what it says right here? You have to make mention of it. You have to read about it. You have to understand it. You have to read your Ten Commandments. Like you talk to most people, they go, oh, that's over. How could the commandments be over? I mean, it's the word Sabbath in the Gospels and letters is 60 times. 60 in the Gospels and letters I'm talking about. But most ministers don't see that because they're so brainwashed with their little religion and there's no more one body. They're all separate. Obviously, the Church of Christ does not agree with the Pentecostals, and the Pentecostals don't agree with the Methodists, right? And you can go down the road with all that. So Satan has done a great thing. Everyone's just divided, and everyone's just under false doctrine, and there's thousands of different Jesuses. Which gospel? Which spirit are you feeling? So you have to make sure the spirit that you think you're feeling when you go to a different church and the Word of God agree. Otherwise, you could be feeling a made-up spirit. And here it is right here, Exodus 20, the fourth commandment, where God opens up and he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Wow. 6 days you have to labor and do all your work. Talk so simple, doesn't it? I love that. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yehovah thy God, Yehovah thy God. So today is the Sabbath of Yehovah thy God. Remember when John was on the Spirit on the Lord's day? This is the Lord's day. It's the Sabbath. It says, in it you're not supposed to do any work. Who? You, your son, your daughter, your manservant. No one's supposed to work around your properties today or do anything. Well, even your animals are supposed to take a rest. Even anyone that's within your gates today. In other words, wherever I go today, it has to be Sabbath worthy. I can't go to visit so-and-so if they're not keeping the Sabbath, right? Because then it's not a Sabbath house. They're going to get me to do all kind of weird stuff and talk about anything. 6 days Jehovah made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that in them is, and he rested the seventh day. Wherefore Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Isaiah says, prophet Isaiah says, thus saith Jehovah, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that does this and the son of man that lays hold on it, that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it. You get a blessing today if you do that. And it keeps his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that had joined himself to Jehovah speak, saying, Jehovah had utterly separated me from his people. Don't say that. If you're not, you know, some people go, well, I'm not Jewish, I don't have to keep it. And Judaism tries to tell the Gentiles they don't have to keep the Sabbath, which is satanic. Jehovah had utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuchs say, behold, I'm a dry tree. For thus saith Jehovah unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than the sons and daughters. And I'll give them an everlasting name and they shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that had joined themselves to Jehovah to serve him and to love the name of Jehovah, to be his servants, everyone that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it and takes hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. For their burnt offerings and their sacrifices, of course now that's spiritual, shall be accepted upon mine altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. So, and that's the way it's always been. You know, if you really read the Bible correctly, you know, there you have Ruth, who was a Moabitess. She actually kept the ways of God. And then she ended up she joined the Israel of God. When I mean Israel of God, I don't mean Israel in the location today. I mean, there's a spiritual house being built throughout the world. And we're just a few people here, but there's people on the internet behind the screen. And there's people we haven't even met, you know, that keep the commandments of God and they're trying to make a difference in this world. But anyway, Judaism is wrong. They try to tell the Gentiles they don't have to keep the Sabbath. They're trying to get you to sin, actually. Isaiah 58 says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and you call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of Jehovah, honorable and shall honor him, how do you do that? By not doing your own ways today, by not finding your own pleasure today, and not speaking your own words today. pretty simple, isn't it? In other words, I'm not going to get in a big conversation about the new horse you bought or the new car or the tractor or this or that or whatever you want. I'm going to stick on, hey, it's nice to see you, and we'll get into, let's talk about God and go over some things maybe you missed. It says, then shalt thou delight thyself in Jehovah, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, thy father. Who said that? The mouth of Jehovah spoke that. So that means you could trust it. It's not anyone's opinion, it's God's. And then Leviticus says, 6 days work shall be done. He says it so many times. God speaks it over and over and over and over. So I got 6 days to do anything I want. The seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation, which I'll explain what that means in Hebrew. You should do no work therein. It's the Sabbath of Jehovah in all your dwellings. So wherever you dwell today, you can't have kids on video games, and you can't have so-and-so watching TV show programs and the other one doing something else, and you can't be in that environment today. Here's the word dwelling in Hebrew, moshav. It says a seat or an assembly, a dwelling place. Dwelling, your situation, your location, or at the time of your dwelling. So that's what that means. So wherever you go today, that's one of the ingredients, if you want to keep the Sabbath, that you have to take note of, because that was one of the elements that were making a lot of people break the Sabbath. All Sabbaths are holy convocations, and what that means in Hebrew, Mikra Kodesh, which I'll explain to you in a minute, there are Mikra Kodesh, see that right there? In the book of Leviticus 23, there's another thing most of the world has no knowledge of, and I just gave you the dates for the spring holy days and feasts that are coming up, right? So I can go over that again a little bit, but these are the feasts. It says, Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them concerning the feasts of Jehovah. So that's Jehovah talking about Jehovah, sort of a plurality. You shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. Just think, that scripture is deleted. Ever since America was created 230-something years ago, there was no holidays here. So the first pilgrims reached forth to Germany and other Europe, and they brought in all these like make-believe things. And then the Catholic Church, used their power to enforce everything. And matter of fact, all these other holidays were even banned in America.
It was even a crime to observe Christmas.
It was a crime. That's right. It was a crime. That's correct. But because of the Catholic Church's power that you can't really see at the moment, but they're still running the show, their power, people just give in, and before you know it, everyone's doing it, and that's the way it works. But God's feasts are gone. The reason why we know it's the seventh day, it's still the seventh day, we checked a lot of the calendars, and the amount of days of the year might have varied. Some had 360, some had 365, but we found out the days of the week never changed. The seventh day was always the seventh day, even in the Bible, even in Jesus' time, Yeshua. And these are the feasts of God. They're holy convocations, which we could talk about later. But here's what a Mikra Kodesh is. A Mikra is a convoking, a calling together, sacred assembly. It's a public meeting. In other words, you're supposed to get dressed and get out of bed and go be with some brothers and sisters because you enjoy doing that, being here in Hole in the Wall, this has been sort of an adventure for us, because every week here, we have different other people showing up. Like last week, we had these other people here. And then, we never know who's going to show up here. We're new here. We're trying to introduce ourselves here. But there's so many different Torah-minded people here that are so different that it shocked us. And the word Kodesh means holy, set apart to the God of Israel. Something sacred. And that's why we separate this day from every other day. We could actually feel the difference. We don't go to restaurants today. We don't buy gas today. We don't go buy anything today, because Nehemiah says it's evil to buy and sell. And that's in the book of Nehemiah, right there. What evil thing is this that you do and profane the Sabbath day? They were buying and selling to the children of Judah that had fallen away from God, started sinning, so they didn't care. They just started doing anything. You can read the whole chapter there, chapter 13. It's really a powerful chapter. We read from the Law and the Prophets every Sabbath, like they did in the book of Acts. And that's what they called it. Acts 13:15 says, the Law and the Prophets. In other words, remember, that's probably Paul speaking, and Peter was there too. They didn't say, let's all get together and read Timothy. Because it wasn't written yet. Timothy, they all read the Law and the Prophets. That's what they had. Even Yeshua, his name is Yeshua, which means he will save in Hebrew. He said, these are the words which I spoke unto you when I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled that are written where? In the Law of Moses, and in that's the law God gave to Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. So that's where you're going to find all the messianic prophecies about the Messiah. And we are spiritual forensic detectives here. We want the evidence. We want the truth. You know, we already played all the church games, and we did all the philosophies, and we did a lot of things. You know, I'm happy that I'm a minister of the Criminal Justice Center in Franklin. Just got my badge renewed. And I'm so happy nobody of this belief shows up there, because it's the prison. I don't want to see you there, and I don't want to go visit you there. Okay? So I'm happy we keep the commandments. That's really important. There's the word Tanakh, in case you don't know what it means. Tanakh is just an acronym. And that just means the T is for Torah, which is the five books God gave to Moses. And Torah means law or teachings. The Nevi'im is the prophets. Okay? And the Kutuvim is the writings. That means everything else. So that, and you put that together, it says Tanakh in Hebrew. But that's what it's all about. So while everyone is talking and still thinking about the Catholic St. Patrick's Day, drinking green beer, that was yesterday, Friday, I thought I'd go over Purim again, a true biblical story of victory over our enemies. We just acknowledged Purim last week. And there is an interesting thing about it, because there's an invisible God, you know. Got this God that's invisible, you know. He could be like right there or there right now. And his Holy Spirit is with us, and I thank God. So the book of Esther has a hidden message of Messiah. Let's investigate that. This is the God I'm talking about. It says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity. That's a powerful verse to me, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. See, in our little way of looking at God is we don't think he's a big pacifist, pushover God, do anything you want. We fear God. We're Hebrews. We fear the Lord. He's the one who drowned the world one time. He's not kidding. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. We actually saw it. We went to Israel and seen it burned to a crisp. It's really there. So we're a little more concerned. Isaiah 45 says, thus saith the Holy One of Israel and his Maker. There it is, right? In Hebrew it says, Ko Ama Yehovah Kodesh Yisrael VeYotzro. And that's interesting that it says his Maker. It says, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all the host have I commanded. So here we have science today, and they're going, the universe is expanding. No, God already stretched out the universe. Just think, if the universe was expanding, the North Star wouldn't be there for everyone to follow it. The North Star would have been flew away by now. So you got to watch out for so-called science and pseudoscience. You got to watch out for a lot of things that they say as facts, which they can't even prove anymore, that light is a constant, because it's been proven that the speed of light is not a constant anymore. So you can't really tell the distances to stars and different things, because they've proved in the different universities, like Princeton and Harvard, they've actually slowed down light, or sped it up, or stopped it. And a lot of theories and theorems that from the past, they sounded good until as time progresses, But God already stretched out the heavens. He says, verily, thou art a God that hides thyself. You see that? Verily, thou art a God that hides thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. I left in the old English there for Savior. But so God hides himself, you know. You know, he's ever present. You may forget about him, but he's always around. Let's review. Let's go back to this book of Esther. Just a short review, not long. So a short look at the word Adar and the book of Esther. There's the word Adar in Hebrew. If you know a little bit about Hebrew, that's Aleph, Dalet, Resh, right? The first letter is the Hebrew Aleph, Bet, in the alphabet is Aleph. And it's that letter is silent or hidden. It doesn't have a sound unless you apply a vowel to it, you know? The next two letters can be conveyed dar. And the word dar in Hebrew means to dwell. So I see by this, just by the word Adar, when broken down, it can convey a message to me. It conveys a message to me that the invisible, hidden God wants to dwell amongst us and be with us. Adar can also convey the meaning of glorious, light, fire, which is light. And then we have the difference of the word feast in the Leviticus 23 is chag, or chagim. But this word right here is mishte. Mishte means a banquet or a different kind of a feast, okay? And that's what we're talking about in the letter to Esther. Most people, I don't know if they read Esther anymore. But anyway, so we have the 17th of Nisan, Ha'aviv, Feast of First Fruits, Resurrection, Deliverance, and Salvation, all in this book. The word, in Hebrew, the word Esther means star, but the root of the word of Esther is satar, and it means hidden. So everywhere you look, there's a little hidden message in this book. Purim is a good time to reflect and remind ourselves on the many things of the God of Israel that are hidden or silent. And that's something to think about. I know that's something to maybe contemplate, and as the Bible says, Selah, you know, you meditate on it for a second. God is beyond us. But Esther chapter 9 verse 1 says, now in the 12th month, that is the month Adar, and there's Adar, it means to expand, to be great, figuratively magnificent, become glorious, honorable. And it also means a mantle or a cloak, you know. And that's why you get all the. That's how you get all these words. What I do, I parse down the Hebrew grammar. I read Hebrew and I get to parse down some words and I could actually see all this. There's the book of Esther. Esther in Hebrew, or Hadassah. Hadassah in Hebrew. And there's the word Purim. Purim or Pur means to crush, to break. And that's what the Haman wanted to do to the people of God at that time. Wanted to destroy everybody. To bring to naught, it means a lot. And that's amazing. So and you know what's interesting about the book of Esther? The words God, Lord, and Jehovah, they're all hidden. There's no word God in the book of Esther, or no word Lord, or no word Jehovah, but we definitely see his action. They do not appear in this book, but if you're aware of the spring holy days and feasts, you might see the hidden message. And I'll go over the spring holy days again in a minute, which most people never heard of because Pope Gregory's running the show and got everyone doing the pagan holidays. Notice how the difference I'm saying? Holidays. God doesn't have holidays. God has holy days. Sounds, if you don't catch it, you can miss that. God doesn't have holidays. He has holy days. But everyone's so used to doing the fake things. Rabbits with eggs in a basket. I mean, you know, it's anything. But and they always go, it's for the children. Why do you lie to your children? But, you know, nowadays it doesn't, you know, it's all so commercial, money. It's all about money. So in Esther chapter 3, I want you to keep track of these days. It's simple math, okay? It says, then was the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month. Now, if you know your calendar, in God's calendar, the first month is Ha'aviv, right? Matter of fact, God has his own new year. God's new year is in the spring, when everything's new again. You know, like the rebirth, or, you know, just symbolic of the resurrection. Just everything's new. And that sun that shows up every morning is the same thing. It's new again, you know, a new day, a new time, a new beginning. Us try to get it straight. But anyway, speaking about the first month, Nisan, there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants, unto the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people of every province, according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, in the name of the king Ahasuerus, was it written and sealed with the king's ring. Esther 4:16 says, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, day or night. And obviously, this is Esther and Mordecai, and they're praying to God, even though it doesn't say it, right? You're not just fasting to yourself, but they're trying to get an answer from God. So now, we started on the 13th, right? Esther 5:1 says, now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on the royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. So basically, simple math, you have start on the 13th, you add 3 days to it, you'll have the 16th, right? So we have in Esther 5:8, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant me my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I have prepared for them, and I will do it. I will do tomorrow as the king had said. So if you start on the 13th and you advance 3 days, right, that brings us to the 16th. And if you're talking about the next day, that should be the 17th, right? The 17th of Ha'aviv Nisan. And to people that know the feasts and the holy days, we know that's symbolic of when the Torah was given in the third month in Sivan, and also know the resurrection. That's when Yeshua, it's the 17th of Ha'aviv. It's very beautiful. Esther 7:1 says, so the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen, and the king said unto Esther on the second day of the banquet of wine, what is your position, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is your request? And it shall be performed even to the half of the kingdom. He's pretty generous. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. Oh, we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain and to perish. And if we have been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then King Ahasuerus answered and said unto the queen Esther, who is he, and where is he that does perform in his heart to do so? And Esther said, the adversary, the enemy, is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine, there's that mishteh, banquet of wine, in his wrath, went into his palace garden. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of his palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed where Esther was. Big mistake. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Oh, man. That must have been frightening. And Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said unto the king, behold, also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, stretched standing in the king's house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's wrath was pacified. So here we see a symbolic situation. The people of God delivered. Yeshua rose on the third day, which is the 17th of Nisan, and delivered us. And if you compare, like, I don't know if you understand what shadows are and indirect forecasts are in scriptures. Sometimes when you're reading something, it's saying more than what you think. And you have to understand that. So I see a hidden message here in the book of Esther. Like a lot of people read Esther and they don't get nothing. They just think it's a big, you know, nothing. But I see a whole thing. Now, to show you what Judaism does, we're Jews, but we're not from Judaism. Judaism, here's what they think. Okay, this is might find this surprising. It says, this is what Judaism says, which we don't agree with. They said, we're commanded to eat and drink and be merry. According to the Talmud, a person is required to drink until he cannot tell the difference between cursed be Haman and blessed be Mordecai. Though opinions differ as to exactly how drunk that is. A person certainly should not become so drunk that he might violate other commandments or get seriously ill. In addition, recovering alcoholics or others who might suffer serious harm from alcohol are exempt from this it's an obligation in Judaism. In addition, we are commanded to send out gifts and food or drink and to make gifts to charity. That's all right. Then sending a gift of food and drink is referred to as shalach manos, sending out portions. Among Ashkenazi Jews, a common treat at that time of the year is Hamantaschen, which merely means they make little cakes of it that looks like Haman's pocket. These triangle fruit-filled cookies are supposed to represent Haman's three-cornered hat. I don't even know how they know he got a three-cornered hat. This is what Judaism does. They make up all kinds of little weird stuff. It is customary to hold carnival-like celebrations on Purim, to perform plays and parodies, and to hold beauty contests. I have heard that the unusual prohibitions against cross-dressing are lifted during the holidays, but I am not certain about that. Americans sometimes refer to Purim as the Jewish Mardi Gras. Purim is not subject to Sabbath-like restrictions on word that some other holidays are. However, some sources indicate that we should not go about our ordinary business on Purim out of respect of the holiday. That's ridiculous. Here's the Talmud. I have the Talmud, so I could give you the exact quote. This is the Talmud Megillah 7b Rabbah said, it is the duty of a man to mellow himself with wine on Purim until he cannot tell the difference between cursed be Haman and blessed be Mordecai. How terrible is that? There are fancy dress parties, including tradition of cross-dressing, mockery of those who at other times are much respected. Now, if you just read the simple Bible, which they don't, they read the Talmud, it says, the women shall not wear that which pertaineth to a man, neither shall a man put on woman's garments. All that are, do so, are an abomination unto Jehovah thy God, the Lord thy God. Yeah. Anyway, but Judaism makes everything into, I don't know what they do. They have the Talmud, which is a compilation of 80 different books, and there's over 300 arguments between the house of Hillel and the house of Shammai, arguments where they don't even agree, and they say, it's all of God. That sounds crazy to me. Brother Paul, whose name is Saul, we have to be aware of this invisible God, you know. He's always around us. This is a letter Paul wrote to the Colossians. We only have one letter here. It says, the Father had delivered us from the power of darkness, amen, and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, which is his word, Yeshua, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's how we have it. Yeshua is the image of, he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, Yeshua, the Word, were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. So there's a lot of things that are invisible that we can't see that are going on simultaneously as we're walking our little life here. Whether there be there's thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him. Yeshua, the Word, and for Yeshua, the Word, is I added these words here because that's who we're talking about. Yeshua is the Word, is before all things, and by Yeshua the Word, all things consist. Because Yeshua is God. A lot of people around here don't believe that. And he, Yeshua, the Word, is the head of the body, the church, that's the ecclesia, who is the firstborn from the dead, even that in all things Yeshua, the Word, might have the preeminence. It pleased the Father that in the him, that's Yeshua, the Word, should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, that's Yeshua, the Word, his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, Yeshua, the Word, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, and you can read the rest of that. So we have this invisible God that is, I mean, God can't die, but he could speak his word, and his word is God, and it can become flesh and die for the sins of the world. Isn't that, that's amazing. By faith, Moses, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Moses endured as seeing him, God, who is invisible. Job says, here's, I love this verse. Job says, lo, he's talking about God, goes right by me, and I see him not. He, talking about God, passes on also, and I perceive him not. So you never know when God's around. That's why there's no secret things with God. He knows everything you're doing and everything you're thinking. Brother John, who we're going to meet one day, I can't wait to meet John. He says, in the beginning, which is the Bereshit, the Genesis, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, that's the Word, and without him, the Word was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The Word was in the world, he was in the world, and the world, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. It says the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Word was made flesh. We know a lot of people around don't even believe in Yeshua, that he is the Word of God made flesh, that he is God. You lose if you don't believe that. You're Antichrist, the Bible says. And there's people around here that think he's just a nice guy or was a prophet or something. No, he's God in the flesh. Paul tells us, right, tells Timothy, he says, without controversy, there should be no controversy, but there is. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Could you misinterpret that? God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, and believed on in the word, and received up into glory. So, what I can say is, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So don't be tricked. I know there's people running around, especially these people called Karaites that are running around. They're trying to get people to believe that there's a salvation in another means or another way. A lot of these people are getting tricked around here. It says, remember the name of Yeshua, the Messiah of Nazareth. You have to remember that name, okay? Be it known unto you, Peter says, and I'll say the same thing, be it known unto you all, and unto all the people of Israel, and everyone today in 2017, that by the name of Yeshua, the Messiah of Nazareth, whom these people crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Yeshua doth this man stand before you whole, Peter said. And he's talking to these people at the time. He goes, this is the stone which has set at naught of you builders, you rulers, which has become the head of the corner. And here's something that some people don't understand. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other religion. There's no other philosophy. There's no other opinion. There's no other person. There is salvation in any other, for there's none other name except the name of Yeshua the Messiah of Nazareth, given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. So there's some people thinking that there's one salvation to the Jews and one to the Gentiles. No. There's not one salvation to the Karaites and one to the Christians or the Torah observer. No, there's only one means of salvation. If you don't have Yeshua as your sacrifice, as your atonement, you lose. According to the Bible, Yeshua, the Word, the Son, is your only hope of salvation. And I want to say Shabbat Shalom. And I thank you for being here today. It's a quick study. It's almost an hour. I usually talk a little longer. There's a few people online yet. Thank everyone for being here. May God bless you. And may God bless the rest of the Sabbath and bless the singing, the food, anything we do. May God always lead, guide, and direct us in our lives. In Yeshua's name. Amen. Anybody who would like to say anything, you're more than welcome. This is being recorded. Let me stop the audio real quick.